Tony's all orange. She's got email, notes and faxes too. He's gonna read a few. And Tony's all orange, yeah.
Welcome to the TK Jingles podcast for September 1st, 2014. I've been doing this for about 6 months now, and I'm loving it. Tony should be back tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll keep doing it, and you'll keep listening. Today, we've got a really special episode. It's something I've been meaning to do for a while, and I've alluded to it several times before in previous podcasts. But after We Didn't Start the Fire and Famous Last Words and all those songs I did back in the summer of 2013, I had this concern that, first of all, I was never going to be able to write anything good again, and that if that didn't happen, Tony would just stop playing these stupid songs. And I loved these songs, and I wanted them to keep going. So from July 4th, 2013, until September 2nd or 3rd, whatever it was, 2013, I wrote 25 or 26 jingles. And that's what we're going to hear today. So my Summer of Madness of 2013. I got a lot of songs to get through. I'm going to give you some behind-the-scenes feedback and notes and thoughts and everything I've got here from these songs as they were coming together. I'm going to play you some alternate versions, like that opening jingle there. I did a demo of Coldplay's Yellow called Orange that I played the acoustic guitar on, and it was rejected. So I just figured, just for the heck of it, I put together an electric version just for this podcast. So there's going to be some stuff like that throughout today. Different versions of songs you may be familiar with, alternate versions, some demos you've never heard before. I'm really excited about this. Really peeking behind the curtain at the stupidity and the obsession that really kind of instigated TKJingles.com, because ultimately, after I did all these songs around about somewhere in mid-August 2013, I had this realization that there was no way in hell Tony was going to play 25 of my songs. I needed a place to put them, so I created TKJingles.com for all these songs, and then hopefully for all the other littles that will be doing it, for them to share as well, and that's turned out to be far more successful and adopted by the community than I ever anticipated. So I really appreciate everybody who's helped me with that for this past year. So let's go ahead and get with the jingles here. So after Famous Last Words aired, that just after July 4th, came back from that holiday weekend, and I was thinking about a song that would kick off September 3rd or 4th, right after Labor Day. Because I really thought I was probably just going to write a few of these over the summer. I didn't imagine I'd be able to do very much. And so I wanted to make sure that I had the first jingle down. So the very first thing I started writing was American Pie, because of that opening lyric a long, long time ago. And I just thought that lent itself to being jingled. And then the rest of it just kind of came out of that. And I'm actually going to play today an alternate version that I never recorded until now, with very different lyrics. This is the very first one I wrote, and I thought it was garbage, so I scrapped the whole thing and started over. So there may be glimmers in here you recognize from the American Pie version that can be found on TKJingles.com, but this is a totally different version. And then what I thought was my best at the time, a parody of Buddy Holly's It's So Easy, which hasn't really been downloaded or listened to that much on the website, so I guess it just shows it's all relative. But it was a very simple parody, and I knew that the old guy radio style that Tony would go for that. And then last in this opening segment, I'd had success with the Up Where We Belong duet that I sang with my wife, Michelle. And so I immediately wanted to start working on a new duet, thinking that after they played American Pie, maybe that they would be receptive to a duet and that that would be cool. So I was looking at cheesy love ballads of the 80s. And of course, I've Had the Time of My Life is one of my favorite cheesy love ballads of the 80s. I remember when this song aired, Gary said, "Cocker," because apparently my voice sounds as ridiculous as it did in Up Where We Belong. I wasn't trying to emulate Joe Cocker. I was just trying to be silly. But, you know, it was all a work in progress. This was my sixth jingle or seventh jingle or something, whatever it was at this time. And now I've done God knows how many of these things, 150, 200. I've stopped keeping count. So anyway, enjoy the alternate version of American Pie that you've never heard before, the It's So Easy Buddy Holly song, and then the I've Had the Time of My Life duet with my wife, Michelle.
About 2 months ago, I can still remember how Tony Kornheiser went on summer break. And I thought that maybe the sport chicks could help me get a few cheap kicks. and hold me over somehow till Labor Day. July and August made me shiver. Best ofs and podcasts just can't deliver a bald orange man's perspective. Opinions so invective. And I can't remember if I cried without Matt's preview of PTI. And no radio for old guys. Oh, how I've missed this show. So here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails and your faxes and your notes. And he's gonna read some for all of you folks, saying here comes Mr. Tony's mailbag. Nigel's waving a checkered flag. So here comes Tony's mailbag. He's got your emails.
Got your emails, got your
emails. Oh, and your faxes.
And your faxes, and your faxes.
Mm-hmm. He's got your notes.
Got your notes.
And he's gonna read some for all of you folks. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Here comes Mr. Tony's mailbag. I've been waiting for so long for the show to come back on 980.
I watch it on News Channel 8. Radio is just so great on TV.
Mr. Tony,
he's a boorish gas bag who doesn't care what anyone thinks.
And that's just one reason. They say this show stinks. And now here comes Tony's mailbag. And he got your emails and your faxes. It's the truth. So now he'll read a few for you.
I vividly remember that was the first week and a half or so after July 4th of summer 2013, and I was already driving Michelle nuts. She was happy to sing with me, but I remember I did three songs in whatever it was, 10 days, and she said, What the hell are you doing? This is taking so much time. Why are you doing this? Tony is not even here. These are never going to be on the radio. What's the matter with you? I said, well, Michelle, I've got confidence. I think that these will ultimately pay off. You know, if I do enough of this, Tony's going to like it. It's going to be on the air. So I wouldn't get too emotionally invested in that, Jer. So she was really just trying to counsel me that, you know, maybe I was going a little bit overboard here. But anyway, you know, those songs ultimately aired. Now, this next segment here, you're going to hear a lot of stuff that didn't air. I've got four songs lined up, and I think the first two underscore kind of the serendipity and the fun nature of this whole jingle thing where something can just come to you instantly. Both of these songs, Good Riddance, the Green Day parody, I wrote in probably 5 to 10 minutes. It just was a song I loved to play on guitar. I sat down, just started singing something. I had my pen and paper there and just started doing it, and it came together, and I thought there were some good jokes and it would be funny, and I was sure this was going to air. And still now, you know, a year or so later, it hasn't aired. I hassle Nigel about it every 2 months or so, and he says, oh, it hasn't been rejected, don't worry, it'll air someday. But clearly there's no intention to air this one. And then I wanted to do a Bruce Springsteen song because I did the Joe Cocker impression and I felt like I could do a ridiculous Bruce Springsteen. And I don't really know many Springsteen songs, but I did know Dancing in the Dark because it's kind of a cheeseball song. You'll notice a pattern here of cheeseball songs. And so I got the backing track of Dancing in the Dark, and I sat down at the computer, and I improvised three takes. I just sat there and sang whatever came to mind. And on the second take, I think Apologies to Liz Clark blurted out. I mean, I love this one so much because I didn't really put any work or thought into it. It just kind of came to be, and that's great. And I think it turned out okay, and people seem to like it. And then the next two, Confessions Part 2, an Usher song, after I did some of these other ones, which are kind of in my wheelhouse, I felt like people are going to get sick of me doing old guy radio or cheesy 80s songs. I've got to do something new and fresh and different. And it just goes to show you, you know, maybe you should stick to what you know. So I did Confessions Part 2 by Usher, and I must have done four different versions of it. I did like an auto-tuned version and it, like in more of a Beastie Boys style where I was kind of barking the words, and a style that I thought was very, you know, Usher-y, but apparently it just sounded terrible. So all of these were rejected. I sent them all in various iterations to Nigel and the different people to get feedback, and they all basically told me these are terrible. So there's Confessions Part 2. And then the song New York, New York, the Liza Minnelli made famous, and then ultimately Frank Sinatra took over. There's a line in there, these little town blues. And when I heard that in the radio, this is probably right when I started listening to music to try to rip it off for mailbag songs. So back around July 2013, first really ruined my appreciation of just music on the radio, because I heard Frank Sinatra singing the theme from New York, New York. And when he sang these little town blues, I thought, aha, littles. Well, surely there's a lyric I can wrap around littles. And then everything I've done in the year or so since then has been inspired by that moment. So enjoy Good Riddance, Apologies to Liz Clark. These are two songs that just came instantly. And then Confessions and New York, New York, which both of them, I had such good intentions and I was sure they would be good, and neither of them really ever panned out, and are just available here as a bonus.
Another mailbag song to end another show. Which mail will Tony read? Only Nigel knows. So do your best to put it in 575. Make Tony laugh the way Kevin does when somebody dies. Send something original, or just say he has no hair. Please don't read my name on the air. Tony got your letters, he got your emails, faxes and notes, and he's gonna read some. He's gonna read some for you folks. Tony's gotta go now. He works two jobs and he can't be late. Never make him angry, or he might smash your dinner plate. Dear Mr. Tony, send my apologies to Liz Clark for this mailbag jingle. I set to dancing in the dark. Here comes Tony's mailbag.
Just when you thought he said all he could say,
Tony's got a few emails to read you today.
Here comes Tony's mailbag.
He won't take calls,
that number's false,
412.
So you have to send your message through
Tony's mailbag.
If your email's funny, then he might read it.
It
also helps if you're not an idiot. Inside joke that the folks appreciate.
So now at any rate,
it's Tony's mailbag.
You littles write mail, he's reading today. He's gonna read just part of it, Tony's mailbag. I wanna wake up in the city at 4 a.m. and read the Washington Post, Tracy Hamilton, the Cheese Boys column, a number one. It's time to read Tony's mailbag.
So after the kind of the natural flow of Good Riddance and Liz Clark, and then the epic fail of Confessions in New York, New York, I decided to go back to things that I knew and that I thought would be more in my strike zone. So I'm a huge fan of Brit Rock. If you've listened to this podcast, you're well aware of that, given the song choices that I make. And there was a band in the 90s called The Verve that had a couple brilliant songs. And one of them was The Drugs Don't Work, which is a song that I can play on guitar and just really enjoy singing. So one day I was driving to work and it popped into my head that I could make that about the podcast. There's a Neil Diamond song, Sweet Caroline, which is one of my most despised songs ever, but I love Neil Diamond. And so in thinking of ways to do more impressions and things that would be more in the style of what I'd like to sing, I thought this would be a song that had mass appeal. And at the same time, I could mock that ridiculous, you know, chorus where all drunk people like to sing along with. So anyway, the next two here are songs that I think turned out pretty well, and I was really, I had a lot of pride when these aired because I really felt like this was putting my best foot forward here and gave me a lot of confidence as I was writing and performing them that, you know, maybe I actually could do a few more of these each month and really could keep this thing going. So enjoy The Delay Won't Work and Sweet Caroline.
Now the show is nearly over. The bagels are almost gone. Here's Tony's mailbag. He got your notes, and he's gonna read some for you folks. This podcast delay is pointless. A misguided business plan. I can't listen live, 'cause I work till 5. No podcast delay is gonna change that. The delay won't work, it just makes it worse, 'cause every show becomes irrelevant. I'd love to listen live, but I can't listen live. You see, whoa. Add some commercials, you could even make some more money, whoa. Tony's made this point, but I think I'll make the point again, you morons. When it began, Tony still wrote a column, and I was probably 5 years old. Look at him now, working with Michael Wilbon and sleeping on a pile of gold. One last segment to end the show. He'll hear from me and he'll hear from you. Tony's mailbag. He got your emails and your notes.
Your notes.
Tony's mailbag. He's gonna read some for you folks.
So at this point, I felt like I really had exhausted my options. I had done Neil Diamond, I'd done Billy Joel, I'd done some old guy radio, some cheesy 80s ballads and duets. And, you know, these are the things that I like and that I thought that I would be able to do. And now here we were getting into August, and I wasn't sure where else to go. So I had tried to branch out into R&B as I played there earlier, and it was just terrible. And then I decided now maybe I could go do some country music. I liked a few pop country stars, crossover stars like Garth Brooks and Tim McGraw, so I started there. And I decided just to keep it simple, just to not overcomplicate things by making these long, epic story-type songs like The Drugs Won't Work or The Delay Won't Work or Sweet Caroline, that it just would be something simple, a traditional mailbag in the way that I had done It's So Easy. So I started looking for a song that would fit to that structure, and Garth Brooks' The River jumped out right away, that would be a song that could be a nice 20 to 30 second song just about faxes and notes. And maybe, you know, if these things were played someday, that would be one that they could squeeze in, because I figured they didn't want to hear these really long songs. And after that, then, you know, I felt like I owed it to myself to do something a bit more complicated or better by Garth Brooks. So one of his final songs before he went into semi-retirement was When You Come Back to Me Again, which I always loved. And as I listened to that, this idea that Tony's never on the air and who knows when he'll come back again just popped into my head. So I thought I would put that out there. And then after I had accomplished that, I felt like, all right, Garth Brooks, that's exhausted. I can't touch that for a long time now. I'll switch back over to this other country guy that I kind of like, Tim McGraw, who I had first discovered back in the 90s with his song Don't Take the Girl and the ridiculous cornball song Indian Outlaw. His more recent catalog and other hits that he had in the late 90s, early 2000s, I liked some of those as well. So I started listening, and the one song I kept coming back to was Live Like You Were Dying. And the chorus with the bull named Fu Manchu, that really stuck out at me because I thought, oh, that kind of sounds like Raju. I bet there's some joke hidden in there. And so anyway, I listened to that song a couple of times. And that opening lyric, you know, I got the news and it stopped me on a dime. That immediately said, oh, wow, there could be an old, you know, some old guy, you know, cheapskate money joke in there. So I wrote some lyrics to this. And this one was really a turning point for the stupid songs that I do, because it was the first one that I don't think ever mentions emails, faxes, notes, and mailbag. It was just a song about Tony Kornheiser and his proclivity to bitch and kvetch and whatever else about his life and other things in there. And I felt like I had enough music now. The reason that I felt like I could take this chance is I had done at this point now, what, 10 songs that probably weren't going to air anyway. So why not branch out and try something new and, you know, just do something funny. And once it was done, this was, at that point, my favorite thing I had ever done. So Live Like You Were Dying turned out to be a song called Bitch Like Mr. Tony. So we're going to play those songs now. We have The River, When He'll Be Back on Air Again, and then Bitch Like Mr. Tony. And then after these three songs, I have a special mailbag interlude. It's a non-traditional mailbag for the week that I'd like to share with you. I think it's going to be pretty cool. So enjoy.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. At the end of every show, he's gonna read some of your letters and your clever, silly poems. So let's all sit back and listen while Tony cracks some jokes. He got your emails and your faxes, now he'll read some for your folks. There's a bald man on my radio, weekdays from 10 till noon, spewing his vitriol, crushing his enemies. It's what he loves to do. God, somehow, you know we love it too. He's got your mail and your notes. He's got your faxes and he'll read some for your folks. Winding down another show. Is he here tomorrow? I honestly don't know when he'll be back on air again. Well, he's in his early 60s, cantankerous and thrifty, and he remembers when a new car cost a dime. He's built a cornucopia of grievances and phobias, complains about his enemies and their supposed crimes. Ask me why I listen, is it a mental condition? Why would anyone anyone want to hear that kind of show? Man, I don't know. He fears bridge driving and he's terrified of flying. Holds a grudge about the severance he got from that bum ride. You, he finds Google confusing. Urban skiing's not amusing. He'll get mad if you mention wild ponies. Man, someday I hope I get the chance to bitch like Mr. Tony. Bitch like Mr. Tony.
I still smile every time I listen to that one. So at this point, back in summer 2013, the only people who had heard these jingles were myself and my wife, Michelle. And she doesn't listen to Tony's show, so I couldn't really get any constructive feedback. All she kept telling me was, you're kind of crazy to keep doing this. Who is going to listen to these things? Why are you spending so much time on this? You know, even though she was supportive and liked them, she just thought that, you know, this probably wasn't such a good use of my time. So I needed some type of validation, some type of feedback. So a friend of mine, Dan in Texas, who's written into the show a couple of times, I sent him a zip file of all the songs you just heard. And I said, Dan, can you give me some feedback? I really want to know if people are going to like this, if this is on track, and you know what you think. So he sent me back an email here, and I thought I would just share it with you because, you know, given the passage of time, I think some of these observations were right on and some of them maybe weren't, but I just thought it was fun to look back, and I thought I would share with you kind of a behind-the-scenes look at some of the feedback I got. So here's the note from Dan back in August 2013. So he says, that first song, Bitch Like Mr. Tony, that was funny, but I don't know Live Like You Were Dying. Your call if you think most others will know it, or if that even matters. The River. That must be a different river from the one I know. Springsteen, a very haunting song you probably don't want to mess with, lest you suffer the wrath of Liz Clark. Says, this one was bleh. You do so many awesome ones, this one just fell flat. When you come back to me again, you're going to find me leaning towards the upbeat numbers. But you've got great lyrics here, I just don't know how recognizable this song is. It's probably a factor in getting airtime. The drugs don't work. I don't know this song at all, but I'm all for anything that takes such expert shots at the podcast delay. Bravo. American Pie. I would be shocked if this isn't played as the first show back, whenever that is. And he was right. Confessions. I get it, but you're just too white to make this joke work. I'm sorry. Dancing in the Dark. You do far better impressions and better lyrics. This is your weak link. Time of Your Life. The Green Day song. Good riddance. So this is good. This will definitely make it on the air. It's So Easy. Yeah, that's going to make it in the rotation, as well as it should. Sweet Caroline, brilliant. Time of My Life, I love it, but I hope Michelle doesn't use this in the divorce proceedings someday, citing mental anguish. So anyway, I just thought that would be a nice break there to kind of show you the state that I was in and the type of feedback I was getting. And, you know, Dan is a good friend and was really supportive and gave me some constructive feedback there. So even though some of those things, you know, weren't positive, I really did appreciate his candid outlook. Because I really, at that point, had no idea what anybody was going to think of any of this stuff. I felt like, you know, we didn't start the fire, all that stuff. Maybe that was a fluke. And, you know, these were just all trash that I was telling myself and patting myself on the back that they were good. But, you know, who knew? All right, so now I'd like to transition, now that we've kind of reached that point where Bitch Like Mr. Tony switched things up a little bit, I wanted to play the next song kind of in that evolution, which is a song all about Mike Wilbon. And Dan actually had sent me a note about that as well, that basically it was way too long, the jokes were kind of funny, but that nobody would ever get it, and I should probably just scrap that or revisit it entirely. So Wilbon was right. This is the first like full-length, essentially, parody that I did. And then I decided that I would try to do something a little bit different. So I'm not really a fan of pop music very much, as I say quite often, but The song Backstreet Boys, I think, Meaning of Being Lonely, that song kind of resonated with me that, hey, lonely and Tony rhyme. So I bet I could do something with that. And I like a cappella music, and I did Longest Time. So, you know, I always thought the audio quality of Longest Time could use an upgrade. So maybe this would be my chance to do that. And so I put together a demo, and as soon as I heard it, I said, well, this is okay, I guess, but nobody's ever going to want to listen to this one again. So I'm just putting that in the archives. So you're going to hear that today. And then as I was trying to branch out and do different things, the Carole King song, So Far Away, I always loved that one. And so I got Michelle to sing it for me, and it was called So Old and Gray, and it was more of a roast song about Tony. And I had some separate feedback from Dan at a different email that said basically that it was way too mean and it would never make the show. And he turned out to be right about that. And then lastly, in this next segment, I had done so many Billy Joel songs. Well, at this point, I don't know, what, three? You know, it was a pretty big percentage at the time. I mean, because I'd only done 10 songs or something. But I decided I should do some Elton John because Tony's always talking about how he thinks Elton John and Billy Joel are the same artist. And obviously, they're very, very different. And I don't really like very many Elton John songs. But the song Your Song, I always loved. And I thought that could make a lovely mailbag jingle. It also has never made the show. So these next four songs, none of these have ever been on the air. I think that Gary has mentioned the Wilbon Was Right song on the air on one episode, and I was really hopeful it would play, but it didn't quite make it. So four songs that never aired, including this one demo of a boy band song that nobody's ever heard until now. So enjoy.
I'd like to tell you all a little story of one man's brilliance and his glory. He knows it all and makes sure we know it too. He's a Windy City boy, born in Illinois, and he wouldn't want it any other way. He knew the day the Berlin Wall would fall. He's won four times at Powerball, picked the winner of the last 48 Super Bowl. He knew Sully would land that plane, and Wiener would come again, and the butterfly ballot had an inherent design flaw. Wilbon was right, Tony, you're crazy. Oh, and Mike sold all of his Enron stock at record highs. On Oscar night, he finally picked Scorsese. Tony was wrong, and we all know Wilbon was right. He thought the Pope would be an Argentine. Robert Downey would stay clean this time. Bruce Willis was dead the whole Sixth Sense. Manti's girlfriend was a hoax, and the Nationals were gonna choke, and Tom Cruise would prove to be insane. Wilbon was right, Tony, you're crazy. Oh, and he told Brownie those levees would never hold. But sometimes it's like his memory's hazy, 'cause even when he's wrong, Wilbon says he's not surprised. Tony was wrong and Wilbon was right. 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 Tony was wrong. Right.
Here comes the mailbag of Mr. Tony. He'll read your emails, faxes, and notes. Tell me why I can't podcast today's show. There's some things we'll just never know.
So old and gray, doesn't anybody just retire anymore? listening to this show is fast becoming a chore. So send some email, folks, or he'll just whine away. One more joke about his deadly fear of cruising. This bald orange dude, and he's so old and gray. Yeah, yeah, he's so old and gray.
I find this show funny, though sometimes it's not. Few of these segments, well, they got me quite lost. But anyway, the thing is, what I finally see, this show is not meant for us, it's just for Tony. Now it's time for everybody sing the mailbag song. This next part should be quite familiar, so please sing along. He got your emails, he got your faxes, he got all your notes. Now Tony's gonna read some for all of you folks.
All right, so at this point, we were reaching late August of 2013, and I felt like I had enough material, but I had written a lot of other things. And one of them was a parody of the Office UK theme song, Handbags and Glad Rags, a lovely, I think, Rod Stewart song. And it had been covered by Big George Webley or somebody that you've never heard of for that Office thing. And he had just such a horrible, scratchy voice. So I wanted to do an impression of that. And as I was writing the original lyrics, let me see if I have them here. Initially, it was something like, have you ever heard a bald man calling Monday Night Football or something like that? Let's see if I got it. You see, I'm so well prepared here for this podcast that I got it. Okay, yeah, so right here. So the original lyrics of this were, and I'll try to do a little rough singing here. If you've ever heard Tony do play-by-play, I'm sure that it made you cry. His jokes were so tired and lame, though you know that he tried. And so anyway, so that was the opening to this, and I thought, God, that's just way too mean. But in the margins here, I started writing notes for what else I could put there to try to soften it up, to still make it about Monday Night Football. And I wrote Gruden parentheses and said, okay, if you've ever heard Gruden's play-by-play, I'm sure that it made you smile. Oh, okay, so instead of saying Tony's bad, I could just say Gruden's good. And then I thought, well, you know, I also really like Dennis Miller on this. And so as I was going back and forth trying to change the lyrics, I thought, well, there were three guys in rapid succession that did this, and two of them failed or were kicked out or whatever because the suits decided they didn't like him. And then one guy who I think is just okay, they all embrace as the greatest genius, you know, ever since Howard Cosell or something. And so I wrote here, Dennis, Tony, and John. I need to work on that. And bam, it just hit me. Wait a minute. That's Abraham, Martin, and John. I could just do a totally separate song about that. All right. Handbags and Glad Rags. I'm going back to the drawing board. This has nothing to do with Monday Night Football. This will just be about the mailbag. I'm going to have to rewrite this one from scratch. Now I need to go work on Dennis, Tony, and John. And so the lyric sheet for this has tons and tons of notes here. The lyrics about Dennis Miller here talk about how he confused a lot of people by using three-syllable words. And then how Tony's verse talks about how we all know that Golic thought he stank. We all know that, you know, Tirico's dead silence at every joke was so telling. Lyrics about that. And then For Gruden here, just notes about how, you know, he informed a lot of people about the finer points of the game, and he's such a genius, and yada yada yada. So I, just to be candid here, I like Dennis Miller a lot, and I think he's really funny. On Monday Night Football, I thought he was okay. He was a little bit bizarre, but I just love his references and his style of humor, so I kind of liked him there. Tony, I'm going to like no matter what he does, so I supported him. So this song then really is meant to be very sarcastic, that, you know, John is the greatest gift to man and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool just to tell you how Handbags and Glad Rags evolved into that other song, and then I went back and kind of finished them both. And then after that, I did a parody of The Prayer, because it's a song, as Michelle and I do karaoke, she always asks me to sing this one horrible Celine Dion, Andrea Bocelli song, The Prayer, and I don't like to because I don't know Italian, so I feel like an idiot whenever I sing it. So I thought, all right, well, I can just take that idiocy of mine, and I'll just make that into a jingle. And then after that, I wanted to do some more old guy radio, so I started working on a parody of Silhouettes, and I'm going to play it for you here. I tried this so many times, and no version I did ever sounded quite right. I was sure that the syllables were right, the meter was right, and it would fit, but whenever I did an arrangement and actually got it down and started singing it, it always sounded a little bit awkward. So it's a reject. I played it on the podcast many months ago in some version. So here it is. Here's the original version. So Handbags and Glad Rags, Dennis, Tony, and John, The Prayer, and Silhouettes.
Have you ever heard a bald man give advice on sports talk radio? Reminding everybody to wear white when they're on their bikes at night. So where's your sense of urgency? How calm, cool, and collective can you be? Here comes Tony's mailbag that your orange old granddad has to schwitz to read you. Has anybody here heard my old friend Dennis? Cerebral, cryptic, and obtuse. Confused a lot of people and the average fan of Mike and Mike. Just can't think that hard on Monday night. Oh, Monday night. Has anybody here heard my old friend Tony? We know Aaron Rodgers thought he stunk. He annoyed a lot of people, but PTI is still a great show. The littles sure love him on the radio. Oh, the radio. Is anybody here heard my old friend John? He's a total natural in the booth. He informed a lot of people, and I can say with a total lack of sarcasm, he's God's gift to broadcasting, and that's the truth. Everybody loves John Gruden. La luce c'è tu da.
It's time to read some mail.
Nel cuore resterà.
Then Tony's off to PTI.
secondo le chiedà.
Yeah, I don't speak Italian.
Pasta primavera.
So I can understand the sky.
Bolli, bolli, do. Your
and laughed at all your jokes.
Now he'll read some for you. Folks.
I wrote a letter, then I sent it to an orange man, and he went ahead and read it. For his fans, I was finally a part of Tony's mailbag sticker. Me, Tony's mailbag.
Mailbag, mailbag,
mailbag,
mailbag,
mailbag,
mailbag,
mailbag,
mailbag,
mailbag,
mailbag,
mailbag,
mailbag.
All right, folks, we're getting close to the end here, so got about 26 songs that they can put together between July and September, so I've got 7 more here to wrap it up. And these started coming together as initial demos and some lyrics in late August, early September, and then I wrapped them up and actually recorded them during that month. So after I did all these songs, I really didn't want to bombard Nigel with 20 jingles at once, because I figured if I did that, he would play one and then we'd never hear from me again. So I sent him 2 or so every week, with the hopes that one of them would make the air. And in general, that's what happened. And then as more folks started to get encouraged by that, I guess, it got less and less. But that was kind of the whole plan all along. Just filter a few of these out there. Make sure we don't just have to listen to 2 of us every week. And then we can actually have some new funny material to listen to. So after the fail of Silhouettes there, I went back to Bobby Darin album, and he does a cover of the musical tune Hello Dolly. And there had been a message on the message boards about Nigel showing up on Courtney's Twitter account like the next morning or something. So people were wondering what in the world that was supposed to mean, because Courtney kept tweeting out all these pictures of Nigel like waking up at her house and whatever after some party. So that's where that Nigel and Courtney are looking chummy lyric came from. And then I decided that, once again, just like the River and Buddy Holly, that I should do a more traditional mailbag. So I threw in Kathy's Clown as something just to kind of fit the structure. And then I noticed that I hadn't really done much. That Hello Dolly song had made me think of this. I hadn't done much Broadway. And I loved Jekyll and Hyde, Frank Wildhorn, who's like the scourge of Broadway. Everybody hates this music for some reason, but I love it. I like cheesy pop music, as I think we've, not pop music, cheesy popular music, as we've established. So I did a rewrite of This Is the Moment in a parody here. Lots of slash throughs here. Just looking for any lyrics that may be interesting or funny. I think for the most part, this came together as intended. Other than, like, this show's the best 90s cash cow. I think it was Tony's Real Famous, No, I Don't Know How. So there's some alternate lyrics in here. Instead of send Tony email, then give your car to a child, which is a Cars for Kids reference. It originally was send Tony email, then use your Google machine to buy some Windows. And that wasn't funny. So obviously that needed a rewrite. All right, so anyway, after This Is the Moment then, again, in my let's listen to the radio and find something to listen to, I heard a Del Shannon song, Runaway, and I thought of like a 5-second jingle I could put to that, basically making a joke on myself for listening to music and then deciding it should be a jingle. And then after that, I was trying to branch out a little bit more, and I thought of trying to incorporate other folks from the show and things that were going on. And Jaworski comes on every Thursday or Friday, so I thought, maybe I can branch beyond the mailbag and maybe they'll actually play something within the show. I bet I could introduce Ron Jaworski every week. How cool would that be? So I wrote a parody of Mamas and Papas Monday Monday to Friday Friday, and I actually even recorded an alternate take called Thursday Thursday, just so Nigel would have a version of it to play on each day. But I never heard anything back about this. I guess they decided they didn't want to do that at the time. It was probably start a bizarre precedent of playing songs to introduce guests. And it's pretty cool that since then they've done it once or twice. And then I mentioned earlier that Meaning of Being Lonely, I was trying to do a little a cappella redemption. So the a cappella song that I think, you know, one of the greatest a cappella hits of all time is the Nylons cover of Steam's Na Na Hey Hey Kiss Him Goodbye. So that song was actually originally done by the Belmonts, who backed up Dion DiMucci back in the late 50s, early 60s. And they had an album that came out in 1970 called Cigars Acapella Candy. And if you've never listened to it and you like acapella music, I can't recommend it highly enough, because it was a pioneering album. At this time, nobody was doing that stuff. And it's 9 tracks, I think, of acapella songs, including the original acapella version of Na Na Kiss Him Goodbye, which the Nylons, you know, 15 years later, went on to make a huge hit. But also the last track on there is called Street Corner Symphony, and it's something like, I don't know, 30 songs. It's all these backup parts from 1950s and 60s tunes, a cappella, strung together, sort of like Abbey Road Side 2, where just they all flow into each other. It's so cool, and there's no lead vocals. It's just the backup parts. So it's just a really cool tribute to that style of music. And then lastly, the final song I wanted to air in this special podcast episode was one that I started working on, and it was one of those where it didn't come to me easily at first, but when it came to me, it happened in like a minute and a half or something. So I started trying to write a parody of a Beatles song, because I hadn't done much Beatles at this point, if anything, and I love John Lennon, so I wanted to do a John Lennon song, and I was listening to I Am the Walrus and trying to think of what I could possibly do for it, and nothing came to mind. So I probably stewed on that for 2 months, just thinking through, all right, I'm the Walrus. What can I make fit in here? And I almost gave it up, and then I had this epiphany of Goo 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 Jube. That could be Google Machine. And so then I started working backwards. So for I Am the Walrus, I really started at the end and worked my way back to the beginning. And looking at my notes here, there's almost no, once I started here, there's almost no scratch outs. I think the only thing that I cut was, instead of what I say in the final version is, man, we're almost out of time, I say, man, we've heard some boring stories, let's hear the mailbag. And then other than that, it's just subtle little changes like, you know, sitting here in Rockville, the busting out of Rockville and stuff, just to make it punch a little bit more. But otherwise, this is one of those that just I was lucky that I was in the right mood and in the right place at the right time, and it kind of came out. I've got a pretty terrible memory, so if I don't write something down or use my voice recorder in the car, I will lose an idea. And then when I come back to it, it'll be a totally different song. So just to kind of go back to the beginning of this episode, that American Pie version, the version that I played for you, I don't remember ever writing that one, because I wrote, and it's not like I'm drinking or something. I write it and then I come back to it a few days later and I have no idea what I came up with. So I wrote those lyrics and I knew that I had done something, but I didn't remember thinking it was very good. So 2 days later, I just started over from scratch and wrote what you ultimately heard on Tony's show. And it's really cool then for me to go back and look, because sometimes I can see glimmers of the same idea or little shades of things that were similar. But for the most part, it's always different. And sometimes I discover a nugget in there that I'll reuse for a future jingle that I happen to like. But oftentimes, if I write something down and then don't go back to it or don't revisit it, it's because, you know, it wasn't worth airing. So anyway, folks, we reached the end here. I'm going to play these last 7 songs and just wrap it up there. I really hope that you've enjoyed this kind of behind-the-scenes take on the jingle process. This episode is really what I always had in mind when I started this podcast, just to give you a glimpse at some of the silly things that I'm doing and share some of the process of the jingles and what goes on there, and kind of demystify it all. And, you know, I'm just doing this as this fun little hobby, and I love that people actually want to listen to it other than myself. So thank you so much for your support. I'll be back next week with a live episode. I don't know if I'll have a guest. We'll see how that all goes, but I'll be back next week. Hopefully we get some fun stuff to talk about from Tony's show. Hopefully we'll have some awesome new jingles now that Tony's back, and everybody will be anticipating that and sending in all kinds of new fun stuff. So enjoy these tunes, and I'll be back here next week. I hope you are too.
Hello, Tony. What do you know, Tony? It's so nice to have you back on the radio. Oh, and Tori's defending Rummy. Nigel and Courtney are looking chummy. But you're still going, you're still crowing. Jeannie still picks them wrong. You know that Gary's pretty funny. Kevin's newscasts are always crummy. I get the sense he's never listened to the show. So that's a wrap. Fellas, we've heard enough of Tony's crap. Fellas, it's time to read Tony's mailbag. He got some email from you folks. He got your song, I wondered if it would make a good mailbag jingle, and I decided probably not.
Friday, on Tony's radio show, every Friday, football picks from an expert ex-pro. Monday morning, we're gonna see if Ron Jaworski can outsmart a stupid monkey.
Blah 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 blah
Got some emails, got some faxes, got some notes, and put them all together. Let's get it done, we're having lots of fun making Tony smile. He's laughing, busting out of Rockville, about to head to PTI. Another show is over, sold a bunch of windows, man, we're almost out of time. Here comes the mailbag. He is the Orange Man, we are the little.
Hope he likes Paul McCartney. Jerry Negrelli in Annandale, Virginia. Here's my entry in the mailbag contest. I'm a DC transplant originally from Cleveland.